let's be in prayer for one another, dads, and let's ask the Lord to help us, and of course, grandfathers too. We got a lot of work ahead of us, a lot of work to do. Raising children is not for sissies, and raising grandchildren, it's got more fun to it, but it's also very serious. And so, by the way, I want to thank you all for praying for our grandsons. They did return back home yesterday, and after we had a little scares, not knowing whether they were going to come back or not with their mother, but I appreciate the prayers on our behalf and seeking the Lord for that, and He answered that. And if we're not careful, sometimes our minds can run away with us in situations that, you know, there's situations you have no control, and you want to have control, but the Lord keeps you humble that way. And but I do appreciate your prayers, and I want you to be in prayer, of course, for the Sunday school hour. I'm going to begin teaching on the church this morning. Now, one of the dangers, a lot of people, I realize, you might say, well, I already know this stuff. How many of you ever had that thought? I already know this stuff. I don't need to hear it. How many times do we need to be refreshed? How many times are there people sitting in our midst that don't know? And so I'm not here to bore you, and hopefully that, you know, if I'm delivering what the Lord has put on my heart to deliver, that God's going to feed every single one of us. That is my desire, and I hope that you will pray for me, continue to pray for me. And so we'll be speaking on the church probably this Sunday, next Sunday, and I'm not sure how long after that, but then we will start on the family. And I want you to be really in prayer for that as well, because as you can tell, as you know already yourselves, our families need all the help we can get from God. And, you know, how many have heard people say, well, you know, these children, they didn't come with an owner's manual. Well, they kind of did. If you have the Word of God, it'll help you. It doesn't tell me everything I wanted to know, but it tells me enough that I need to know. And so we need to be in prayer for these things. But I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad that you chose to come to the house of the Lord this morning. But as we think about church, go ahead and be turning to Matthew chapter 16 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 16. And as you're turning there, Brother John Barnhart, will you open us in prayer, sir? Amen. Thank you, brother. And again, you know, there are doctrines that we should know. There are things that if we're studying the Bible on our own and if we pay attention in church, yes, things that we should know, we should understand. But how many of you think the world has the right idea about what the church is? If you were in Spain today, and of course, you know, we were missionaries in Spain for 14 years. We lived there 17 years total, counting our time in the military. But if you were in Spain today and you say, well, let's go to church, what is the assumption that they're going to have? What church? The Catholic Church, right? And so you think about that. So is that a church? Well, technically, yes, it is a church, but it doesn't mean it's a biblical church. Because if we understand the definition of what church is, then that'll clear up a lot of confusion that the world has today. And a lot of times, we're creating new definitions for every word that has existed today, and so everyone is confused. Now, God is not the author of confusion. Would you agree with that? And so we want the Lord to speak to us, to help us to have clarity in our understanding. And, of course, the term church is used in an innumerable way today. But I want to look at it from the biblical point of view. But let me ask you some questions. I know certain churches, when you think of church, some people say, well, that's a denomination. Well, there's the Baptist Church, or there's the Methodist Church, or the Catholic Church, as I already mentioned. Okay, so that is a called-out assembly. That is a group of people meeting together, but it's not necessarily to carry out the principles of the Bible or to proclaim the gospel. And as we think about that, we want to make sure that we have a clear understanding. Some people refer to the church as the actual building. How many of you have done that? Oh, we go down to Temple, or Little Temple, as some people want to call it. I have some words with that. But we're Temple Baptist Church. Praise the Lord. But we're only Temple Baptist Church when the called, the saved, meet together. Because yesterday was the church here. The building was. But were we all here gathered together, assembled together, to proclaim the gospel, to give praise and worship unto the Lord? No, we weren't. Most of us were enjoying doing whatever yesterday. But here this morning, we have gathered together as the local assembly, the body of Christ, and we have come together. Hopefully, you're here for the same reason I am, that we want to seek God's face, that we want to get into His Word and allow the Holy Spirit to train us and to teach us so that we can be better children of God, so that we can proclaim the gospel to our communities, to our neighborhoods. And we have a lot of communities represented right here in this congregation. I mean, we live up in Andersonville. I know some are from Sevierville and others, you know, other areas around. We have to drive a little bit to get here. And I believe in the local assembly. What about you? But not every church that claims to be a church is a place that I am going to attend. And it's not because I'm prideful. It's not because I'm a snob. It's because there are certain teachings that God requires us to adhere to. And it's all found here. And by the way, if we would just stick with the Bible, we would get rid of a lot of confusion that we have in the modern church today. We get rid of a lot of things like that. And so I've heard people say this, especially up in Wyoming. We were at the base of the Bighorn Mountains. They're in Buffalo, Wyoming. And I would go out, of course, talking to people, try to invite them to come to our assembly, our church, if you will. And I've had this said to me more than once. Well, the mountains are my church. You ever heard people talk that way? Well, that's good if you're meeting with a group of believers up in the mountain. That's great, but that's not what they were calling the actual mountains their church. That's dangerous because that's not what the church is. And so just keep that in mind. Now, how many of you ever had a bad experience at a restaurant? Would you raise your hand? How many of you quit going to restaurants because of it? But how many people have quit coming to church because of bad experiences? Okay. And so we're hypocritical in a lot of the things that we do. And so, you know, if you did have a bad experience at church, first, make sure that you weren't misunderstanding what was going on. Or secondly, try to deal with it as Christian-like as you can with what happened. But also, there's other churches, especially in our area. Did you know there's other churches in this area? And let's don't get to this mindset of the Baptist Briders that we're the only ones that are saved, the only ones that you know, God's going to allow to enter into heaven. That's not us. Anyone that has been born again, they've been placed into the body of Christ, which is the church. So please understand that. Now, we are a local assembly. We have a pastor. Who knows who our pastor is? It's Jesus Christ. We have an under-shepherd. Who knows who he is? That's Pastor Lawson. And so we praise the Lord for that. But when you think about all the things that are going on in the world today, today is a day that the church needs to be understood clearly as to what it is. And I hope that you will have that desire in your mind as well. Is church a place we go to play dress up? Here I am in my fine suit. And so I'm supposed to be all important because I'm wearing this suit. That means I'm a man of authority. No, no, no. Don't be fooled. The devil wears suits. Hello? Just be mindful of these things. The devil has his own church. Sometimes they're bold enough to call it the house of Satan. Other times, they just go under the pretense that they're a Christian church. But Satan has his church, so we got to be very careful. It's not a place to go and play dress up. Now, why do we dress up? Not everybody dresses up, and you know what? It's not a requirement for you to dress up. Please understand that. You're not going to hell if you don't wear a suit and tie. I hate ties, I'll just be honest with you. But when I'm standing here in a position that I've been asked to do in teaching or preaching, I'm going to wear a suit and tie. That's just the way I am. It doesn't mean that if you don't, that you're not right with God and you're going to go to hell. Please understand that. There's a lot of times we put a lot of extra requirements on people that are not biblical. But I look at it this way. I believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you were to go visit the president in the White House, how would you dress? You'd dress your best. Okay? We are actually standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, your best does not mean that you have to wear a suit and tie. Some people's best are a nice pair of jeans, a nice shirt, whatever the case may be. And this is not for you to answer to. And if I'm careful, you're going to start thinking, well, Pastor, Brother Beck cares how I dress. No, I just want you to dress the way the Lord expects you to dress. There are no actual descriptions completely as to what how we should dress for church. How did Jesus dress? My wife likes to get me with this all the time. Did he not wear a tunic? Yes or no? She's like, why are you wearing a suit? Why don't you wear a tunic? That's what Jesus wore. All right. Well, he wore sandals too, and I hate sandals. But you know, just certain things. If we're not careful, we're going to major on the minor. But if you're here this morning, I hope you've come with a clean heart. I hope you've come with a desirous heart that you want to hear from God, that you want to assemble with your brothers and sisters in Christ, because we draw strength from one another. We need each other. And we'll get into that just a little bit as well as we continue on. When a person says, is it church if we don't sing three hymns, have specials, and take up an offering? I want you to think about these questions. We really need to think. You know what the problem is in our generation is people don't think anymore. People want to be told what to believe. But we need to research it out for ourselves. And I want to encourage you to do that. Let's continue on. Is church only for Sunday? Do you know that having church on Wednesday is not in the Bible? How many of you come to church on Wednesday? Did you know you're going to hell if you don't? No, you're not. I'm kidding. Sunday school, as I mentioned last week, is not in the Bible, but is it something that we could take advantage of and learn? And by the way, we're still gathering together, so yeah, technically it is church. But, these are things that we have to come to grips on our own and make our own decisions, have our own convictions. Your own convictions. You're not going to answer to me. I'm not going to answer to you, per se. Now, because I'm in the office of teaching right now this morning, I am accountable to you. How many of you understand that? And I voluntarily commit myself to you, as I hope that you would commit yourself voluntarily to me. We are accountable one to another. Even our under-shepherd, our pastor, he is accountable to us, but we are accountable to him. He has the position of authority given to him by God, but he's very careful how he does that. And we all should be. So when we think of that, just keep in mind what God has given us in his word and what the world has added. All right? Is the church a way to brainwash and control people? Be careful how you answer, because many churches have been. But a true church is not here to brainwash people. It's not even here to control you. It is to guide you. It's to direct you. But it's to edify you. To build you up. And I guarantee you, there's been times, listen, as a pastor, I did not want to come to church. And I even went out of obligation. And I was the pastor. What's that guy going to preach this Sunday? No. But you think about, listen, we're not here for people. We're not here to see so-and-so or talk to so-and-so. We're here to meet with the Lord. And this is what I want to encourage you to always keep in your mind. Always to ask the Lord to help us with that. Should I go to a church where there's hypocrites? Well, if you find one that doesn't have any, don't join it, because then they will have one, right? So there are no perfect churches. There are no perfect people. We joke all the time. A lot of pastors will joke and say, you know, the ministry would be so much easier without people. Yes or no? But without people, we have no ministry. So let's remember that. Let's keep these things in mind. What does the Bible say? If you go to Matthew 16, I've already asked you to turn there. This is where we see the Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples about the church. And I want to take very careful notice as to what the Lord says about the church. And we're going to be going to several verses here in just a little bit. But as the Bible needs us to understand, the Greek word for church, and you know, I'm not asking you to understand Greek or anything of that nature, or even Hebrew, but the word comes from ekklesia. And basically, it's a gathering. It's an assembly of people. Now, a Christian church is an assembly of saved people, assembly a group of saved people that have come together to carry out the Great Commission. That's how we look at it. And that's what we need to look at. We are not here to represent ourselves. We are here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was speaking to his disciples, of course, he asked them, well, who do people say that I am? Because he wanted to see what the world's opinion was about him. Not that he already knew the question by the answer. Whenever God asks questions, please know he already knows the answer. He only asked the question to get us to think about what we need to be thinking about. When he asked Adam, where art thou in the garden? It wasn't because God didn't know where Adam was at. It's because God wanted Adam to see where Adam was at. And when God is asking questions, he wasn't asking his disciples because he wanted to see if he was on the popular 10 most greatest prophets list. No, he was wanting to see what those that he had been ministering to, those that watched his miracles, those that saw how he lived his life, who are they saying that I am? And of course, they told him. Okay, verse 14, it says, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Well, he wasn't John the Baptist. John the Baptist was another person. Some Elias, okay, or Elijah, and others, Jeremias or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, most of the world will say that Jesus was a prophet. That is a true statement. However, he is more than a prophet. Okay, let's keep that in mind. But they thought he was a prophet. The Muslims recognize Jesus as a prophet. Did you know that? Did you know in the Quran they even have a book that Jesus supposedly wrote that's about him? They have a book about Mary too. Does it make them Christian? If you know anything about their teachings, they're not Christian at all. And so they even reject Christ being the Son of God. But then in verse 15, Jesus turns it personally. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? In other words, you all. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the anointed one, okay, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18, very important to doctrine, very important to our understanding of what church is. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. That's referring to a pebble, because his name means stone or pebble. Okay? Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he was referring to himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I was what they call a church planner for 20 years with Macedonia World Baptist Missions. That doesn't mean that we carry a Bible, bury it in the ground, and up comes a tree that produces a church. That means we go into a certain area, and we start giving the gospel out to people, and hopefully we can win them to Christ. Then we'll have them follow in believer's baptism, and then we'll teach them in the doctrines of the Scripture. And as you gather these people together, hopefully a church will start, a local assembly of believers. Hopefully they will continue to gather together to proclaim the gospel, do the same thing over and over and over again. And God wants this to be done until everyone has an opportunity to hear the gospel. He tells us where to start, and we'll get to Acts here in just a little bit. He tells you where to start. He tells you where to finish, the uttermost parts of the earth. So think about that. We're to be witnesses at home first. But here Jesus said, I will build, notice the pronoun, the personal pronoun, or possessional pronoun, excuse me, possessive pronoun, my church. Jesus is describing to Simon, Peter, and the rest of the disciples, it's his church. Now, you look at modern day understanding of church history, who did they say was the first pope? Peter. No, he was not the first pope. He was the one Jesus left in charge after Jesus arose up to heaven. And it's very important we understand that. And Jesus even brought that attention to Peter himself, speaking to him directly. Listen, you're a little pebble, you're a little stone. I'm going to use you, but I'm going to build my church. Guess what, Peter? I'm going to use you. And by the way, he used the other disciples as well. Now, We do not understand everything about Judas Iscariot. I understand that. I'm not asking you to. But we need to trust what the Lord said. He said he will build a church. I told you I was a church planner. I've had this question given to me by churches who supported us. I had this question given to me by other missionaries. Whether it was for good reasons or facetious reasons, whatever the case may be. Well, how many churches have you started? I mean, if we're supporting missionaries, their job is to plant churches, correct? Church planters, isn't that what they're supposed to be doing? Establishing churches in the place that God has sent them to go? That's what we ought to expect from our church planting missionaries. That they're going there, they're soul winning, that they're helping the followers, the believers, to follow in believers' baptism, and then to teach them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. That is what church planters do, and when they get that congregation together, they are training up individuals in that congregation so that that congregation can continue on, and with the idea of someone in that area, or someone maybe moving there, that is trained up to lead that local assembly or that local flock in the Great Commission, teaching the Word of God, making sure that Jesus Christ is the main thing in their assembly. And you think about that. Well, how many churches did I plant? Well, I tried to plant several. Guess what? They all failed. Are you listening to me? Well, you weren't a good missionary. No, guess not. But what happened? I told you I was saved in Spain, right? It was a military work in Spain. Well, years later, as a missionary, when I was there, that church asked me to be their pastor. Well, the problem was, we are in Spain. What do they speak in Spain? Thank you, they speak Spanish. You know some people don't know that? It's kind of funny, but it's kind of scary. But we were in Spain. This church that I got saved in is asking me now to take over as pastor, and I'm biting at the bit. I'm like, yeah! I said, but I have one condition. Because we were only reaching English-speaking people. We're in Spain. Does God want Spaniards to be saved? God wants all to be saved. And I said, if I take over as pastor, we're going to start reaching Spaniards. And we had a bilingual church for those 7 years that I pastored that work. Now, it started gradually. We had some people who spoke English and Spanish, some of the local Spaniards. They came to the services. And then it got to where in the mornings I would preach in English and my sons would translate to Spanish. And in the evening I would preach in Spanish and my sons would translate to English. Because we wanted to make sure that everyone heard in their own tongue the Word of God. That's important. People need to hear the Word of God in their own tongue. Okay? And so when we keep that in mind, the whole intent was to train people. But as we began, the Spanish side grew. The military side kind of stayed the same. By the way, it's very uncomfortable for many people, and I learned this the hard way, to have two languages in the church continually. It's kind of difficult. And I understand that. But that's the way I felt the Lord led me. And we saw people getting saved. We saw people getting baptized. Joining the church and then going out and soul winning. Going out handing out tracts. That's what it's all about. People getting saved, telling others how to get saved so that they can tell others how to get saved. Just a continual process to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But that local assembly where we draw from one another, where we get, we edify one another. We grow together in the grace of God, helping each other, serving in the ministry together. Each and every one of us ought to be serving in the ministry here together. Now, I don't know what your role in the ministry is, but each and every one of us ought to be ministering. We ought to be serving. Whatever specification, whatever God has put on your heart, whether it's just being a witness, whether it's being an encourager, whatever the case may be, God has you here for a purpose, and there is not one person that is a member of this church that has no value. How many of you understand this? There's not one person here in this church that is more important than any other person in this church. And a lot of churches have lost that. You have your hierarchy. You have your circles within the church. The pastor's talked about this here recently. There ought not to be divisions in the church. In fact, when you get into the epistles and you get into, the other books besides the Gospels, it talks about unity of the same mind, that we'd have all things in accord. In agreement. And that only comes from staying to God's word, practicing what God's word says and doing what he tells us to do. And so I want to encourage you to keep that in mind, if you will. So we're looking at this. Jesus said, I will build my church, but yet he used men to build his church. He worked through them. And this is what I'm trying to get with the statement about being a church planner, things of that nature. I believe, personally, and this is my belief, and not everybody agrees with me, I believe Jesus started the church. But I believe the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. And the reason being, remember the promise Jesus made, I need to go away so that who can come? The Comforter, who is? The Holy Ghost. Okay, he needs to come, but in order for the Holy Ghost to come, I've got to go. So Jesus, he began winning people to himself. He began saving people. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, right? He talked about his purpose. He came and he did that. He called out the disciples. Not all of them were saved, but he still tried to teach them. He tried to draw them to himself, reveal to them who he was. Who am I? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ. Peter got the message. Peter got the right answer too. Okay? Peter was saved, but did Peter make all kinds of errors and mistakes? And unfortunately, I think I relate more to Peter than any of the others, because sometimes I'm too quick to open my mouth and not think about what I'm going to say. And I'm working on that. Y'all pray for me. But as we think about it, you know, the Lord said he's going to die, and Peter's like, no, you're not. I'm not going to deny you, and then we end up denying him, right? Now, there's various ways to deny him, but that's what Peter did. But one thing about it, Peter truly loved the Lord. And even though he sinned, even though he made errors, he said things he ought not to say, he always sought to live correctly before the Lord. Even if he had to be rebuked, whatever the case may be. But that's all part of learning. That's all part of growing, is it not? If we can't be rebuked, if we can't be corrected, we're not going to grow in the Lord. And we're going to be of no use. And I don't know about you, but I want to be of use to the Lord. So we see that, but Jesus said he would build his church. However, God uses saved people to build his church. Do you know that God can use you? How many of you have seen, you see where Patsy and I sit, and then you see Brother John in front of us, right? How many of you have seen his pew grow with people sitting on it? He's bringing those kids on a bus to church so that they can hear about Jesus Christ. God is using him in that capacity to reach others. And we need to pray for it. I was excited to see the whole pew and even extras on other pews last Sunday. Man, that was exciting. So keep it up, brother. Keep it up. But every one of us has a ministry. Every one of us can serve and help the Lord because we make up the body of Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. Again, I'm not sure how far I'm going to get, but for the next couple of weeks, we're definitely going to be talking about this, the church. And I want to encourage you to do some self-study, if you will, to look into it. And not just look at the definition or just for the word, but look at the actions of the churches. Look at what they did, because we're going to get into the judgment of churches. Hello, did you know the church will be judged by God? Okay, this is something that we need to take into consideration. How many of you realize that nations will be judged by God? Now here's the thing. Nations are made up of people. Yes or no? The church is made up of people. But the church is made up of individuals. And we are those individuals. And how my life goes and how your life goes will affect this church. And how this church goes will affect our community, which in turn will affect our nation. America is in the shape that she is in today because Christians are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Can I just be blunt and honest with that? Just straightforward? The church, the country is in the shape that it's in because the church has failed in many aspects. But it doesn't have to stay that way. I'm not a fatalist. Sometimes it may seem that way. I'm not a fatalist. I'm sometimes a pessimist, okay? But the truth of the matter is, God can still do what he wants to do through this church, through this nation. But it's going to take us getting right with him. And in order for our church to get right with God, we as individuals have to get right with God. And as our church gets right with God, we're going to have a positive effect on our community if they receive it, and that will affect our nation. How many of you are above 60 years old? I'm not trying to call you out, but did you ever think you would see our nation in the shape that she's in today? Did you ever think that our churches would be in the shape that they're in today? And I think of some people, I know Patsy's, how old is your grandpa again? 99? 99, her grandpa's 99. Can you imagine the changes he's seen in his lifetime? And I'm only 55, believe it or not. I know I look 30, but I'm 55, and the changes I've seen in my life, I'm like, wow, it's kind of hard to receive. But did you know that that's just a part of life? But it doesn't mean that we have to be stuck in a rut. It doesn't mean we have to throw up the white flag to the worldly desires. No, we can stay faithful to our Lord and Savior. And we can see God make an impact on our nation. And I hope that he will. But here in Romans chapter 12, look at verses 4 and 5 with me. Paul is writing unto the believers at Rome, the called out assembly there, the churches of Rome, okay? And by the way, there's more than one church in Rome here, but there's also more churches in Knoxville. We're not the only church. How many of you understand that? We're not the only right church. Now, I'm here because of conviction. I'm a member here, even though I drive past numerous churches on my way down here. I'm here because I believe this is where God would have me to be. Believe me, I visited other churches. I listened. I observed. Was everything they were doing wrong? No, I don't think it was completely what God would have. And I'm not condemning any other church, and I'm not trying to bring problems for our pastor or anything by saying what I'm saying, but this is where God led me. And by the way, this is not the church for everybody. And just because people don't come here doesn't mean they're not right with God. That's what I want to make sure I clarify. Just because someone is not a member of this church doesn't mean that they're wrong with God. Please understand that. But this is the assembly that I believe God would have me to be a part of, my family. And I want to do the best to serve the Lord here. And therefore, I need to put in my work and praying for my church family, praying for my pastor, doing my part in helping my church how I can, attending my church as I should. Amen. Because this is how we grow together as the body of Christ. And this is what God wants. But here, Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, "For as we have many members in what? One body, and all members have not the same office." Thank God there's one John Beck here. I don't think the church can handle any more. I can't handle more than one John Beck. My wife definitely can't. But here it is. "We're many members, but we're not all the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ." Do you see that? One body in Christ. "And every one members one of another." I could be very prideful and just full of myself and say, "Well, I can live however I want. It don't bother you." Well, it will bother you. Yes or no? And the way you live, it will bother me. Now, it may not be my intention for it to bother you or your intention for it to bother me, but brothers and sisters, we are not islands unto ourselves. The way we live, our testimony, our witness, everything affects our church. It affects our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to keep that in mind. But we all make up the body of Christ, every single one of us. I have gotten up before, and I take out one of my arms out of my suit jacket and kind of hide it behind me and say, "You know, I showed up for church today, but my arm didn't want to come." Was that a whole body? If my arm was missing, would that be a whole body per se? Of course, the idea is to get you to understand, you know, every person is needed. This body, was it 207 bones? I may be incorrect, but, you know, our body is made up of more than just bones. Sinews, right? Muscles. You think of all the things that our body is made up with, our nose, our eyes, our ears, all these things, all these parts of our body, they work together as one. And it's the same idea that we need to have about the church. You know, you can't see the stomach, right? I mean, I've got my stomach where you can see it, but, you know, kind of out there. But inside the intestines, the actual stomach, you know, you can't see that, but are they vital to the survival of my body? Absolutely. Do you know not everybody gets to stand up behind the pulpit up here? Not everybody is able to have the light shined on them, if you will, but they're just as important to this body of Christ as those that are up here. But if we're not careful, and as we have seen, there are those that will stand behind pulpits. There are those that will, you know, lift up themselves, and they'll treat the rest of the body as unnecessary. I want you to know you're necessary. You're needful. You are important to this body of believers, this local assembly. Now, you say, oh, I'm not qualified. Nobody is qualified. Did you know I'm not qualified? I'm not qualified to stand up here, but God qualifies me. So long as I adhere to his word, so long as I teach correctly, do what he'd have me to do. But as far as qualifications, I'm not qualified to stand up here. But thank God he allowed me to be here. But God has something for you. And if you haven't found out what it is yet, call unto me and I will, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How many of you realize moms are important to the family? Now it's Father's Day, but moms are important to the family. Dads are important to the family. Grandmas, granddads, they're important to the family. Hello? This is something that we need to understand. And just as important as that nuclear family is, so is the body of Christ to realize how important, how we need one another. And to go and to think that we don't need this member or that member, or someone leaves a church, we go, well, good riddance, we're sorry. We don't want to see that person around here. Have you ever looked and studied the genealogy of Christ? Did you know Rahab the harlot is in that genealogy? Hello? Aren't you glad that Rahab the harlot's in that genealogy? You think about David, you know, the guy that committed adultery. I mean, a lot of people, they can't get past that. But he's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me. In his lineage, all the sin that was represented, yet he was the one that was able to pay for all the sin. And what we're trying to say is, without Rahab the harlot, we might not have Jesus Christ. Without David, we may not have Jesus Christ. And without you, we won't have Temple Baptist Church. And I don't know if I'm getting it across or not, and I don't want to be repetitious in all that I'm saying, but this is something, you know, Jesus saved you for a reason. If you're saved, you've been saved for a reason, and it wasn't just to say, I'm saved. He has a purpose for you. He has a job for you. And if it means just you being faithful to train your family, do that. Are you listening? Did you know that if you weren't here this morning, I'd look kind of dumb preaching to nobody? We need people. Amen? We need each other's knowledge. I'm upset with Brother John Barnhart. Last week, how many of you remember me talking about the milk and the meat? He got real spiritual on me after service. He says, Brother Beck, did you realize that the milk and the meat come from the same animal? And I hadn't thought of it yet. And my flesh is like, why don't you be quiet? But my spirit's like, man, that's good. You know what I'm talking about? So, you know, we may overlook something. We may not see everything that we need to see, but us coming together, encouraging one another, edifying one another, praying for one another, lifting up each other's burdens, we can help each other. You say you're talking about the church, right? Yes, we are the church. We are the body of Christ in this building. And God has wonderful things ahead for us. And we need to seek his will in it. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 16. Let me know when you're there, please. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now look at verse 17. For we being many are what? One bread and one body. Do you see that? For we are all partakers of that one bread. What do we have in common? Every single one of us this morning ought to have this in common. We know Christ as our personal Savior. And it's because of Him we can come together. We can assemble ourselves together. And we can serve Him. And by the way, He still ministers to us. How many of you does Christ minister to today? Praise the Lord, He still ministers to me. Not that I deserve it. But boy, I'm sure glad He does. You minister to me, believe it or not. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. Now, I may not know all your names. I'm working on it. But the thing is, I need you, and hopefully you feel like you need me, but we all need Him. We all need Him. And without Him, we're not going to get along. We're going to have our own opinion this way and our own preferences in that way, and we're not going to get along. But if we have the Word of God, we believe the Word of God, and we fellowship one another in Christ, we're going to get along just fine. Amen? There won't be all this confusion, all this stuff going on that we see in the world today. We need to continue and do what the Lord would have us to do. Turn over to chapter 12, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 12. And as preachers or teachers, we have to be careful we don't get ahead of ourselves, right? I kind of got ahead of myself just a little bit ago, but that's okay. And I'm just going to reiterate. Verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many," what? "And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Now here's what I was trying to get across a little bit ago, okay? You know, the stomach, you can't see someone's actual organ, stomach, but it's important. It's important, all right? But if we're not careful, we might get this mentality about ourselves. Well, I'm not teaching anybody. I'm not preaching. I must not be worth anything. Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to the devil. God has you here for a purpose. You serve a specific function. Now, if you're not doing what the Lord would have you to do, you need to do that, okay? I want to encourage you to do that. But not everyone is meant to be, as we see here, the foot. Not everyone's going to be the hand. Is it becoming clear to you? I want you to understand this. And Paul's just trying to explain this as simply as possible. "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, because we are humans, because we are sinners, and because we do have natural prejudices, we may think others are not important, or we may think that others think that we're not important. But as Paul is trying to get across here, the body needs every member. Temple Baptist Church needs every member, no matter what function. God has placed you here, and I hope that you're convinced of that. Amen? "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" Now, what do we smell with? Our nose, right? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath," here's the important part, "pleased Him." Pleased Him. It's about pleasing Him. It's not about pleasing me. It's not about pleasing Pastor, although we should try to live up to what God would have us to do. It's about pleasing our Savior. And if we start feeling sorry for ourselves, if we start having self-doubt, and by the way, a lot of people suffer from this. You know, well, people don't like me, and people don't think that I'm important. Don't get caught up in that garbage. That's Satan trying to discourage you. Jesus put you here. He saved you. And if you're saved, he put you here. He has purpose for you. Don't think that you're of no importance. You are vitally important. I can't tell you how many people have told me, without me asking them to, I prayed for you. Do you think that helped me? How many of you like hearing, I prayed for you? All right. Let's continue on. I'm going to try to get through this real quick. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all of one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And I want to encourage you, I'm going to just stop here for time's sake, but I would encourage you to read through the rest of the chapter, go back and review this, if you will, and consider yourself. I'm saved. I'm a member of this assembly. I just don't feel important. Quit relying on feelings. Feelings are deceitful. Okay? Go by the written word of God. What does God say? You're necessary. You're important. You have a function. And by the way, without a nose, we couldn't smell, right? Without a tongue, we couldn't taste. How many of you enjoy tasting food? That's a wonderful thing. Everything is vital to the body of Christ, every member. And that is what the church is, the body of Christ. This local assembly needs you. This local assembly, believe it or not, if you were to up and go and disappear, it would suffer. We may not see the results right away, but it would. And I want to encourage you to pray for one another. Get to know one another. Encourage one another. Amen? How many of you could use some encouragement this morning? We all need it. I need it. But let's encourage one another. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. I ask you, Father, to please continue to work in our hearts and minds. Father, as we talk about the church, Lord, I pray that you continue to lead me, guide and direct me. Father, help each and every one of us to receive your word with gladness. Father, help us to trust the scriptures, not trust our feelings. Father, help us to trust the doctrine of your scriptures, not the doctrines of men. Father, help us to realize that we all have an important part to play in your church. Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to assemble together. I thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to unify. Help us to be of the same mind. And Lord, help us to serve you as you are worthy to be served. We'll give you praise and honor in everything. I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.